This Sunday. Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yes. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yeah, I believe in miracles too, and so do you. Proven by the fact that you've tuned into Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino and the dancing, discoing Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
What are you doing, you sexy thing?
Oh, just shining up my capizios and the Sergio Tacchinis, and we're just sliding across the floor here on this on this great Sunday.
I like that glow-in-the-dark puka bead you're wearing there. Very nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, we like to throw the show. We like to give you a bone here. We figure let's play something Chris will like. So,
yeah, a little hot chocolate. That's their only hit.
Yeah. We used that all winter, cool. A little hot chocolate. And it was nice. Warms up the insides, makes a person feel good. But, yeah, so you can feel good, too. You can get in touch with us today at 516-572-7440, where we'll talk to you about all your car concerns and craziness, whatever you got going on today.
I did something this week that I haven't done in a very long time.
Combed your hair.
No.
Oh.
I worked on my wife's car in the garage.
Oh, okay.
Let me say that again. I worked on my wife's car in the garage.
Okay.
Tell me the last time you did that.
I have never worked on my wife's car in my garage. Well, yeah. One of her other cars I had, not the current car, but I have worked on it in a garage, being the shop. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, right. But not at home. So I have to say no, I have not.
Never done that. And it's funny because I got the car in the garage, and all I'm doing is simply changing the oil. But I'm like, it hit me. I'm saying, wait a minute, I'm working on my wife's car, and I'm covered in a garage. Usually it's outside.
Yeah.
Because you always have something more important in the garage.
Or you can't get into it, or, you know,
right,
whatever.
Right.
Okay.
So, and so this was a monumental week this week.
Good.
Also, I did something that I've never done.
Uh-huh.
I've actually switched from regular dyno oil, motor oil, to a synthetic blend.
What made you do that?
Cost.
Really? Because usually people would go the other way, because the dyno oil is typically less expensive than the synthétique.
Well, the synthétique, yes. Well, you know my trade secret. I go shop for motor oil at Walmart.
Yeah, we all do. That secret's out. We all know that. But how is the supply by you in your state? Because here, the shelves in Walmart, the oil shelves have been kind of sparse for a while.
Yeah. Up by me, it is too.
Okay.
You have to get there early on a whatever Tuesday or Wednesday morning, right after the delivery, whenever it is, and grab your booty while you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you grab the oil too.
Yeah.
But what I was doing was every time I would go to the store, I would always look, and there'd be less and less amounts of regular dyno oil, and more amounts of the synthetic. And I'm noticing the synthetic prices were actually coming down almost to the point where they were lower than the regular motor oil.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, I'm biting here. So, and actually the last oil change that I did before this one, I said, you know what? I'm going to go synthetic this next oil change because it's just getting harder and harder to find the dyno oil where I am.
Uh-huh.
So this oil change, I was at the store and I'm looking, hands in my pockets, and I'm staring at the space and looking on the shelves. And I went, okay, now's the time. Let's do some synthetic switch. So what I did was I drained the oil for about 6 hours.
Oh, geez.
Literally.
You want to get the most out of that garage time, don't you?
Yeah, I opened up the oil plug. I popped the oil filter off, and I went and sat down, did some homework, had dinner. We watched a little local news. It was getting late.
And what was your rationale behind doing that? What was the reason?
I wanted to get all of the old, as much as the dyno oil out of the crankcase.
Can I give you a little tip on that?
Please, dude, please tell me what I did wrong.
No, not that you did it wrong. It's something I learned years ago. I used to service a few people's cars, friends, parents and whatnot. And this one fella, the parent, he had been a recording engineer. He had been, you know, in the city. He worked, I think, maybe for RCA or whatever. Anyway, he had a technical background, car background, though. That's why he came to me. But he asked me, he says, listen, when he would provide the oil for the oil changes that I did on his car.
Right.
He let me get all the other parts, brakes, filters. He didn't care, but he wants a supply. I said, okay, fine. And there was always like enough for the oil change plus a couple extra quarts of like a lower grade oil. And I remember asking him once, like, well, he told me pretty much straight out, I think the first time, what I want you to do is drain the oil out of the car and drop the filter and let it drain as much as it can. Put the plug back in. Put these 3 quarts of this lower priced oil in the engine. You can start the car just like 30 seconds to shut it off. You can, you don't have to do that, but you can, but just, you know, just for a second. He goes, and then let that drain. And I said, okay, why? And he was, what he said, I saw, I put in fresh amber colored oil, and just that 30 seconds of running, and it, as it coated the engine, it came out black. It picked up other old oil off the inside of the engine. He wanted to do like a mini flush, but not with a chemical, with motor oil. And I did that on my engines for a while, but this was back in the late 80s, early 90s. I used to go to AutoZone, Auto Barn, and I was getting Exxon oil, or I think it might have been Mobil brand oil, the regular oil, and it was like 89 cents a quart. So yeah, I'd take like 3 or 4 extras, and I did that. And now I've since
said,
not that bad. That's back in my TSS days. That's in the 70s. But it did work. It did flush some other impurities and blackness out of that engine. And he just wanted to make sure it was as clean as possible. So
that's actually very smart. That's pretty wise. What I was planning on doing was changing the oil again in about 1,000 miles. So just to get that synthetic out and replacing it with fresh synthetic. So yeah, I was having the same mindset, not as radical as your friend's technique, but yeah, something along the same lines.
But I think what you're doing is a little overboard too, because
why?
Well, I mean, 1,000 miles. I mean, the engine is as far as we know is in good health. It's in good shape. You're not burning oil. It's a newer car. So it's got tighter tolerances.
Leave it.
Yeah, I would leave it. I don't do it to any of my vehicles. I don't change the oil again in a short fashion. Unless you had some sludge that you saw, if you saw something that was maybe a red flag, but otherwise I wouldn't. Yeah.
No, I've been pretty fortunate, and it all comes down to maintenance. I've been fortunate enough I've been changing the oil at 3,000 miles.
Right.
Or at 4 to 6 months, whatever comes first. And actually in the last couple of years, it's been the time over the mileage, because basically the last year and a half, 18 months, 2 years, we haven't been going places.
I was just speaking with someone this week. Oh, I know, the woman across the street. It was kind of funny. You know, this is what happens. I went out. My daughter came over the house. The older one came over and with her RAV4. And, of course, when she comes over, I always wait like half hour, 40 minutes. Then I go outside and I check her oil and I check her tire pressures. And I'm out there with all my tire stuff, and the woman across the street, she rents over there.
You're a good daddy.
She says to me, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Sure.
Oh boy.
So she's walking this little dog. Dog's all over me. Like, what's the question? Hurry up. Let's make it. I'm losing skin here, lady. Come on. Well, she drives a Hyundai, a Sonata, and she wanted to know when she was driving a car and she felt all of a sudden like her wheel, the steering wheel, like jerked, like shook in her hand. And then it stopped and she didn't know what that was. I'm like, did you hit something in the road? No, I don't think so. So I walk over. I'm looking at the car. I'm okay, giving a visual. I said, well, tires look good. And I had my pressure gauge in my hand. So I check her tire pressures. I said, you know, to your credit, the tire pressures are okay. I figured they were going to be off and I was ready to adjust them for you, but they're okay. And then I look under the car and you can't see, you know, the big plastic shield was kind of hanging down. I said, I can't see the suspension. I can't see anything else under here. I said, the car needs to get on a lift. And then she said, well, yeah, I'm going to go to a guy I use at the end of the week for an oil change. And she was telling me a story how the other guy she was using was, she felt she was paying for oil changes and then she wasn't getting them. The oil wasn't getting changed.
So oh, really?
I said, well, that's not good. But what did get changed or didn't get changed is our phone lines. They still work.
Ooh.
So let's go to the phones and go to the front and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray, Chris, John, how are you guys today?
Very good, Johnny.
I'm going to wish everybody a happy Easter, happy Passover, whichever fits the bill. Over and above overkill, I was just reading something, and you know I do a lot of small engine repair.
Yeah.
Kohler actually has an XTX series engine that's out now that on the Kohler site, and I somebody had it on a forum, and I went and looked it up, never requires an oil change.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. I mean, they hold a quart at best on most of the, you know, up to 10 horse.
Right.
And I'm like, for the $5 at Walmart,
yeah,
you know, it's a disposable engine.
Now, is that, John, is that a, what's the architecture of the engine? Is that a two-stroke, four-stroke, battery-powered?
It's a four-stroke engine.
I couldn't catch on the battery power thing. Okay, good. All right. Four-stroke that never needs oil change. Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the cost to come out like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Those are EVs.
Right.
but, John, I mean, you know, we're not far from that as it is because they're talking about transmissions that don't require an oil change.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't buy that for a hill of beans. But now, how do you change the fluid in a transmission that doesn't require an oil change?
Well, Chris, I'll tell you this. Let me give you an example. Yeah, I had my daughter's RAV4 in the shop last year to do a tranny service, and I had the FJ in. I was going to do that as well because I'm going to start driving the car at the time. And her RAV4 does have a dipstick where you can check the oil. My RAV4 does not. My FJ does not.
Yeah.
So you can't check it, and you can't add it. There's nowhere to put fluid. Well, there is, but you have to be under the truck and take the plug off the transmission itself. So, yeah, that they've been doing that for quite a while now with vehicles.
I've done two of them so far, the Explorer and the Mazda, the same way, and I changed the fluid in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Very similar to doing a diff. You can drain it, and then you got to pump it back in the top, but you got to be underneath.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, and that's right. That seems safe, right? That seems mess-free.
Well, no, on a driveway, that's a real pain in the neck, but you have to be on. And with my FJ, that plug, the fill plug, is up in the tunnel of the truck. So even on the lift, you're reaching up, and it's a little tough to get at. And I tell you, now any tool you use, I was using my hypoid suction gun, now you're lower than the plug. So we usually want to be above it. So that's led me to put on my wish list of things I need to buy is a 12-volt or battery-powered siphon pump that I can mechanically pump the fluid in with.
Yeah. You know what, Ray? I have an extractor pump that it works both ways. It's got a switch on it. You can have it do vacuum or pressurize it up.
Nice.
The only pain in the neck is you got to clean it out real good before you put fresh fluid in it.
You know, John, I'll tell you something. Some of the shops I know and things I've seen, guys are taking those pumps and they're buying a couple of them and dedicating them. One is for ATF, one is for diff fluid, one may be for antifreeze, whatever. And that's what they're doing. They're just dedicating it for that task. So
yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Right. You just have to make the expenditure, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Ah, cool, John. Thanks for that info.
No worries, guys. Have a great Easter Sunday, Passover, and...
Yep.
I'll talk to you soon. Sorry, right. You're working.
That's okay. Thanks a lot, John. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jen.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, John is right. That's but I'm kind of appalled that they would actually say, because some of these videos I watch on YouTube, I'm watching car videos where cars came in with, you know, usually it's like 50,000 or more miles without an oil change, and literally they take the plug out and it's just bloop, it's not even a stream. So
yeah, it goops out.
It takes a long time for that to happen. But in small engines, well, now maybe the small engines are better than the earlier ones where you don't get a lot of carbon into the system. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
No, it could very well be, because the two small engines that I have, two, three small engines that I have, lawnmowers, snowblowers, those things,
they
require an oil change. I think it's once a season. Right. And I've dumped oil out thinking it was going to come out like coffee, like blorp, blorp.
No.
But no, it comes out golden, really golden.
I would do mine typically at the beginning of the season, like the first time, you know, I would cut the lawn the first time, get the mower warm, and then just dump the oil and put in, you know, like the 1.2 quarts or whatever that it takes. And it would start the season.
Does your lawnmower have the small valve, the petcock on the bottom by the blades?
Yeah.
Or do you have to, it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's an older design.
Yeah.
I have a newer mower where it does not have that little petcock by the blade, so you can't slip a small catch pan under it or lift it up onto a catch pan. You literally have to muscle this thing up and pour the oil out of the tube that the oil goes in.
Well,
so it's almost like a two-man job.
It's true. But and it's crazy, because I did verify exactly what you said on some sites. I said, how are you supposed to do this? And that's what they recommend. But, you know, no, that's when you buy a siphon pump and you suction it out and you do it like that. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's on my wish list as well, because I'm tired of lifting the silly thing up.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't blame
you. I look like a fool in the garage wrestling with this.
I would go the next step. I would drain the oil, and of course the gas would be out of it, and I would invert the damn thing, and I would probably drill and tap a hole in the crankcase in the bottom and put my own plug in there and say, screw you, Briggs and Strathmore, whoever the hell, you know, whoever made this, to pump the thing. So.
If they're only Briggs and Strands. I don't think I've seen anything else.
Well, Tecumseh.
Casually.
Tecumseh is the other.
Oh, Tecumseh, where you'll find in the middle of like Indiana or something like that.
Well,
Oklahoma.
My snowblower, I'm sorry, has a Briggs & Stratton engine. Something. No, I think the small one has a Tecumseh engine. A lot of them use Tecumseh carburetors. Let me throw something out there. I want to get this story. I meant to talk about this. Actually, this one just came in this week. There's another one I had from last week. Something that's going on. I get email. We're registered with SEMA, the SEMA Action Network, which is S-A-N. And they send out issues that are relevant to the car community. Here's one that's happening. Now, this just came out this week. And our good buddy, The Fixer, just sent me another article this morning, more comprehensive than this one, that says kind of the same thing. So indulge me here.
Okay.
Following long-fought debate, the Biden administration announced that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will issue a temporary waiver to allow for summertime use of gas with up to 15% ethanol in it. Now, the E15, you know, now we use E10, and they say it's to help address fuel costs. If you read the other article, you'll see that it really doesn't help fuel costs at all, but that's a whole nother issue. There's one issue I'm concerned with on this.
Now we're bumping it to E15? Is that the goal here?
Yeah, and currently E15 cannot be sold between June 1 and September 15th, the summer months, due to fuel volatility concerns that higher blends of ethanol combined with warmer temperatures may lead to increased ground-level ozone formation and smog, which is the one thing that all the green people are always railing against, you know, the ozone stuff. So the agency will review the waiver every 20 days to determine if it remains to be in place. Summertime sales of E15 has been a hot-button issue for many, many years. Now, ethanol, here's the part, this is why SEMA got involved, especially in higher concentrations such as E15, can cause metal corrosion and dissolve certain plastics and rubbers, as we know, in older vehicles that were not constructed with ethanol-resistant materials and in certain specialty high-performance equipment installed in newer vehicles. New car manufacturers, in fact, have come out against the use of E15 in their cars that were not designed to use it. Now, we're not talking about E85. They were designed for that. But also, guys with older cars, basically, we are screwed, but they basically don't care about us anyway. The bigger group, the government does, at least.
True. We're small potatoes. Yeah.
Right. SEMA opposes the expansion of E15 as a lack of clear labeling, on gas pumps. It does not provide sufficient protection to guard against misfueling, they called it. So
misfueling.
Yeah, so that's something that you guys want to know about with older cars, motorcycles, boats, anything that burns fuel, even the lawn equipment. I got a friend down south who said, you know what, it's easier to get non-ethanol gas in the south than it is upstate New York. You can. I've bought it up there, but not where we are. Just like I found a big difference in my small engines when I went to the high test gas as opposed to regular grade, the guys down south found a big difference going from ethanol to non-ethanol gas in their small engines. So there is a difference. The engines do run different. So this didn't have any kind of call for action to talk to your senators or congressmen yet. That'll probably come, and we'll report on that when it happens down the road. But E15, don't use it in your older cars, especially if you don't have compliant parts. Like, you know, I have only 6 inches of rubber hose in my whole fuel system in my Pontiac. I ran all new aluminum line.
Oh, aluminum, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, from the gas tank to that line, you need a little piece of rubber. And in the front, right, from the fuel pump to that line, you need. So I have like 6 inches in the whole system. But I did buy the Gates Barricade hose, which is ethanol compliant. It is, there's other hoses that also are ethanol compliant. I'm not sure of the trade brand, the brand names, but so that's what you want to have in your older car or any older vehicle or machine that runs any kind of ethanol in it, because that hose will degrade. It'll get soft from the inside out and fail.
It's deceiving, that is for sure. What do you run in the GTO? Do you run premium or do you? I'm tempted to say you don't run regular in that.
Yeah, I run the premium fuel in that car.
You run premium fuel, not regular.
It's made to run. The engine was made to run on pump gas, and there's times I've actually put like a half tank of regular in, whatever, and it was okay. Because, you know, now I went with a lower compression. I didn't do the chassis John thing. I didn't go with 13.5 to 1 like, you know, he likes to run. And and you know what? It was a trade-off for optimum power and sound and a whole bit. But you know what? I want to be able to drive it anywhere, anytime. So I made that concession.
Right. And you didn't want a 55-gallon drum of something concocted, fermenting in your...
I didn't want to have to buy VP, which, you know, you can buy, you can get it, but it is expensive, you know.
John is going, that 55-gallon drum is vino, that 55-gallon drum is something else.
Yeah. You know, I didn't...
None to drink of that one. No.
I didn't want... You know, the problem is if I had done that, I knew I'd think about, okay, do I really want to take the car out and invest and take that expense? Whereas going to the gas station wasn't as bad. And I knew that would prohibit me from using the car, so I said, no, let's go with a lower compression and keep it, you know, compliant. So that was the choice.
Smart thinking. No, I agree with you 100%. That's smart thinking on your part, because it's like one more thing that's going to prevent you from driving the car. And if that's the case, then why? That's one more thing to make you question, why do I have the car at all?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I totally agree.
John just told me ethanol beats up aluminum too, but I didn't know that. I hadn't looked at. When it sits, you know, because inside a carburetor, aluminum fuel balls, they can get a little fecocked if it sits.
Interesting.
So
what do you have to do? You have to like literally purge the whole system when you store the car for longer than 6 weeks.
Yeah,
I mean that would stink.
Right.
I mean, I haven't touched the 300 in the garage since January. I haven't even touched it, barely even looked at it.
Right.
So I know I'm going to be in for a joy when I go out there, probably when it starts warming up. But right now I can't get the car out of the garage. There's too many things in the way. So
yeah.
So I'm sitting and waiting patiently. I would have loved to have taken it out at least half a dozen times.
What happens with the ethanol is because of the alcohol, it dissipates. It basically evaporates faster than regular gas. I've seen it in my own cars. If I use the car, you know, in the season, I'm in and out with it, no problem. But if I let it sit for 3 weeks even, the carburetors are empty. The fuel filter is empty. That fuel all evaporated because it just goes right out through the carburetor. There's no, you know, it's not a sealed system. We're not talking fuel injection on that car. It does evaporate faster. So, you got to kind of prime that well, you know.
I had a grandfather that every time he had a pint next to him, he used to tell my grandmother, "It's evaporating, maybe. I don't know how it's leaving. It's evaporating. I don't know."
I didn't know you had Irish relatives.
Yeah, I actually did. Yeah.
Okay, good, good, very good. Cool. Well,
yeah. What are you gonna do? But yeah, it's. I'm a little perturbed over this E15 because I remember. Yeah. You and I bashing this whole idea years ago about E15 and the damage it can cause to guys like us with our vehicles. And that's what stinks is that we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. We're just this small group of individuals with, what do you call, disposable income that really don't mean much to the government's purview. We're just a nuisance.
And I'll tell you, that's exactly why an agency like the SEMA SAND Network, they're there to look out, just like, you know, the other, like the NRA looks out for shooters' rights and shooters' reasons. And the NEA looks out for teachers. And, you know, SEMA will take up the cause where the old car hobby is concerned. So a lot of the car clubs are involved with this group. Motor Mouth Radio's been involved with them for many, many years because we, I actually tried to get someone from the group on the show from years past, and I should look again. Back then, we couldn't make it happen. We'll see if we can now. Right. Because they are like Haggerty, will look out for the good of the group. You know, that's kind of what SEMA, the SAND Network, is doing. So also for the good of the group, I know you look out for us all the time. Do we have an honor group of the Easter, I mean of the hour, for this fine Sunday?
Yes. It's, as a matter of fact, we do have a Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the Easter.
Okay.
And today, the Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour, if you can get upsold at an auto parts store, can the counter person really talk you into anything? Do you walk into an auto parts store to buy spark plugs and the counter person talks you into the double erythium or secret potassium spark plugs? Do you walk into an auto parts store to buy motor oil and end up leaving with the super viscosity, high mileage, vitamin enriched scented motor oil?
Oh, good stuff.
Do you walk into to buy some green antifreeze and get talked into the multi-blend, ultra-low freezing, waterless, airless, full-strength, super-duper cool that comes in any color you want? Well, if you can be easily talked into something for your car that will make it better, faster, run cooler, fire hotter, and look slicker, then you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the Easter. There you go.
Nice, nice. That's very good. I like that. Yeah, we could love that scented motor oil too. That's good.
Yes. And I like that double, triple potassium spark plug.
Yeah, right. And while you're on your way, if you're going down to the parts store on Monday at 8 p.m., tune in this station where you can listen to Polka Beat, our friend and favorite. We love this guy, Polka Bob Petrowski. He features all styles of polka music and additional music of Ukrainian, Slovenian, and Polish influence, as well as news of those ethnic communities. And yep. Polka Bob's a great guy. I've actually spoke with him. He's a rip. The guy is cool, and he plays some really cool polka music. If you're into that sort of thing. So now the kind of sort of thing we're into is a bottom of the hour break. We'll take care of some news. What we're gonna do, Chris?
What?
We're going to turn that beat around on that one, and we're going to just take another. Can you tell where we're going now?
You going to go a little Vicky Sue?
I think so. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio in a few minutes. Keep it where you got it. We'll pay homage to a couple of our supporters here, and our you listen to our great promo clip, which is phenomenal. And we'll be back. So, Chris, you sit tight. Everybody else out there, sit tight. Keep it where you got it. 90.3 WHPC. Hit it.
Turn the beat around. Love to hear percussion. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rodders. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our train staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fount of useless knowledge.
Well, quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No,
you see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest
show
we've ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor Mouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
Hi, this is Ray Guarino, host of Motormouth Radio, heard Sundays at noon on the voice of Nassau Community College, and this show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Town of Oyster Bay. Supervisor Joe Saladino invites you to the Town of Oyster Bay's car show, Long Island Spring Classic, presented by Bethpage Federal Credit Union, Now Medical, MSG Networks, Ambassador Home Improvements, and PSEG Long Island on Saturday, April 30th at Tobey Beach, featuring classic, muscle, and exotic cars and 4x4s, a food truck corral, vendors, displays, and live music by that 70s band. It's all at the Town of Oyster Bay's Long Island Spring Classic on Saturday, April 30th at Tobey Beach. More information and how to enter your car into Car Show Long Island is available by calling 516-797-4121 or by visiting online at carshowli.com.
Hey you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
I know that you won't look at your finger, but you see I made up my mind.
I made up my mind, too.
Got to be the rhythm.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Got to be the rhythm of the city. How's that?
What?
How's that for a throwback, huh?
Look at you.
Want to talk about the rhythm of the city? Go back into your past a little bit there, my friend. I don't know where that came from. That just came out of a nook back here somewhere. All of a sudden, I heard that word, and I said, oh, yeah, the rhythm of the city.
Look at you.
That's how
Look
it works.
You throwing out some WKRB old slogans, old radio slogans.
And That's I wasn't cool. even there.
No, yeah, you were.
You were there. I wasn't there.
You were there in spirit.
I guess, yeah, I guess. Spiritus Dominescus. Hey, I'll tell you where I was and where I had a good time. I was at the UD yesterday. And,
ooh.
Yeah, got to see the boys over there, Dougie and Johnny. And we were, I picked up Joe. And we all went over there and had a fun time. Let's see if we can have a fun time here on this phone line for a minute.
All righty.
Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, we have Reagan from Trumbull with a technical question for Chris.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let's go. What do we got?
Can you tell me what the dwell angle is on a 327 Chevy and how it affects performance?
Go, Chris. It's all yours.
A dwell angle on a small block Chevy would be, and this is something I've learned from my longtime radio colleague.
Right.
is for anywhere from 28 degrees to 32 degrees.
You got it.
Right?
That's right.
And any other questions you have for the Motormouth Radio staff, Reagan?
Anything else for Chris? You want to quiz him on something else?
How do I change the timing?
Ah.
Ooh. Ray, you want to field this one?
Well, you need a wrench to loosen the distributor on a conventional engine of V8 or V6 or six-cylinder configuration, and you need a timing light to set the degrees, which will be listed in the service manual as either before or after top dead center. So it's a little more complicated than that, but that may take a visual instruction. You have to come down to the station. We'll meet you in the parking lot, and we'll do that like we've done in the past.
I'll be down at 2 o'clock.
Excellent. Just, you know what? You bring the coffee and cookies, and we'll bring the technical advice.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you then.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks, Reagan.
All right.
Bye, Pat.
Bye.
That was my cousin, Pat.
Right.
And his granddaughter, Reagan.
Right. Excellent.
Thanks for calling.
And I think they found a way to make our Best of Mother's Day show. It was very... That wasn't hard to do. Very
exactly.
Good.
It's never hard to make the Mother's Day show. It's never hard to make the promo.
Right.
Not on this show.
Right.
I love it. 516-572-7440 is the phone number. If you need to know the exact degree of your dwell angle, then see. And that was literally me. I mean, the pulling that out was rough, Ray, because I remember fielding those calls, and I've told people, look in the book.
Yeah. I know.
I don't remember those things anymore.
Yeah, it's not actually the easiest thing in the world to just come up with. It's very true.
No, but I've gotten to the point where I just turn the distributor, and if the engine goes, I'm too fast, if I turn it back, it goes, too slow. So I kind of find the middle somewhere.
We're going to try this again. We're going to go to the phones again and go to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths, Ray and Chris.
Hey, Ray and Chris, this is Ron from Clinton, New York. How are you?
Oh, hey, Ron, from Clinton, New York. Wow, you're up there. You're up there. Yeah, how'd you find us, Ron?
Oh, originally from Long Island.
Oh, okay. So
I listened to you guys for years.
No fooling. Well, that's great. We're glad to have you as a caller, finally. What can we do for you?
All right. My son and I, we have a thing going back and forth on the ethanol fuel. Mm-hmm. So I have a bunch of older cars, you know, which I run the non-ethanol, which is available up here. But him and I also own a Focus ST, in which he says we should run the ethanol fuel in it, because that's what it's designed for, and I'm more of the old school, run the non-ethanol.
Okay. I'll tell you this. I'm a non-ethanol guy. And although the newer car, yes, will meter the ethanol better than an older car, a carbureted car, if I had my choice, every time I was upstate when I saw non-ethanol gas, I purchased it for my newer cars. And so I'm with you. That's my bet. But I will say that if you went with ethanol in the newer car, I don't think it's going to hurt it. See, ethanol doesn't have the volatility that regular gas does. That's one of the problems.
Right, but I've noticed like we have like daily drivers, and if I run non-ethanol, I get better fuel mileage. Car does seem to run better, but that's maybe just me.
No, that's what I've found, and like I said, with my small engines, I found a difference when I went from the regular grade of gas to high test. I saw a difference in my freaking lawnmower. I saw that. You know, I really did. It started easier. And the same thing, my friends in the South found the difference when they went from ethanol to non-ethanol gas in their small equipment. Bang. Mm-hmm. They said, you know what? Starts, runs better. It's more consistent. The engine has a better sound to it. So, yeah, I say if you can use real gas, ethanol isn't real gas. It's not. It's not.
But like I said, his thing was that they were designed to run on that.
Well, he's right. It will meter it. Right. It will meter it. The computer, you have NOx sensors, you have, you know, all the components that are in the fuel injection and ignition system on a newer car will take all that. It can take the variable and make it work better than, you know, a carbureted car, which is kind of like a dumb car, you know,
right,
could do. So he's right in that respect. But I still, it comes, so when you drive the car, put the non-ethanol gas in and let him put the ethanol in. And I'm with you, Ron.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Ron, I would. This to me is a perfect opportunity for an experiment to see what the car does with the ethanol and with the non-ethanol.
Right.
To see, you know, put it on the line, see if, how it does 0 to 60, how it runs, how it sounds, video it. I would love to know the results.
Well,
of that test.
The big thing, like Ron said, the real world thing that we all are concerned with is gas mileage. He sees a difference in the gas mileage. You know?
Well, we don't care. I mean, on the Focus, we don't care about. Right. You know, I mean, it's a fun toy. We beat the heck out of it. So gas mileage is a secondary.
Right.
But on my wife's car, you know, I notice when I put the non-ethanol in, you know, I'll pick up a couple miles a gallon.
Okay. Yeah. Like I notice here in, you know, we're downstate. You know, we're on Long Island. That yep. in the winter when we have the oxygenated fuel, you just know you're going to lose like 2 to 3 miles per gallon. It's
right.
just
yeah.
what's going to happen. And then right. it goes up again. Do you have any older cars, Ron, that you run with? Any?
I do.
What?
Yeah. I got a 69 Fairlane Cobra.
Nice.
69 Mercury Cougar.
Right.
Those all run non-ethanol. They're all high-compression motors.
Nice.
Nice. You know, even the Fairlane, it's got to be cooler out. If it gets hot, she'll ping on the 91 that I get up here.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yes, those are hot motors, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Cougar has a lower compression. I think I got like about 9.8 to 1. That I have no issues with.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm running my Pontiac, around 9.5 to 1, and I've had no problems.
Yeah, I get no problems with the Cougar. The Fairlane, one of these days when I do the engine, yeah, I'll probably have to bump down the compression a little bit.
Right.
You don't drive them for mileage.
Right.
No,
it's smiles per mile. That's the,
yeah, right. Yeah, definitely.
And it's funny that you have to look at a calendar in order to know which car to drive.
I know. Right.
Yeah. Well, about 6 months out of the year, I don't get to drive them. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we actually had snow this morning.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long have you been up there in Clinton, Ron?
18 years.
Okay. Yeah. Good amount of time. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
I know things have changed a lot up there, and you know, I used to spend a lot of time upstate and see every year. I was just heartbreaking to see the changes as I would go. And you know, I would ride 9 and 9W, and I would take the, you know, all the different roads. I would take all of them, mostly on a motorcycle, and just every year see the changes that I didn't like. It was.
It's not bad up here. That hasn't changed much. We still have family on the island, and boy, I tell you, the island's changed a whole lot more in the 18 years than up here.
A little more congested,
that's
I guess.
For sure.
A little bit, yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. Ron, listen, thanks for calling. And listen, don't be a stranger. Keep in touch with us. You can follow us on social media. You know, we're Motormouth Radio on the web, on Twitter, and on Facebook, and on Instagram. It's real_Motormouth Radio. And,
all right.
Yeah, and feel free to call. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, will do. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron.
Yep,
thanks,
see
Ron.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I love new. That's great. We have a new old listener. That's great.
516-572-7440. Come on, phones are on fire. Let's go. We got time.
While I mentioned the word, I want to switch gears a little and tell you something about motorcycles. I want to put, you know, we're gonna have Gerard on from Rolling Thunder to talk about motorcycles in the.
That's always a good time
when he can do it. But what happened is he had sent me this. There's a memo, an official. Memo from the Department of Motor Vehicles that went out to all motorcycle shops.
I could tell everything is highlighted in yellow.
That was me, yeah. And it's the current inspection requirements regarding motorcycle exhaust systems and mufflers. Ooh. This is a topic that comes around every now and again, and it's reared its ugly head again. Just so you know, the requirements may be found on section 79.28C of the Motor Vehicle Inspection Regulations book. It's also on the web, dmv.ny.gov. It says, in a nutshell, all motorcycles that are equipped with internal combustion engines, so not e-bikes, must have a check of the exhaust system and muffler as part of the safety inspection. We know that for years. Just like a car is supposed to have the exhaust system inspected. And the motorcycle shall be rejected if any of the following exist. Now, they wrote this out clearly. The system or elements are not securely fastened. Or B, not equipped with an adequate exhaust system and muffler to prevent excessive noise. That becomes a problem with some of the bikes we've seen.
Right.
The next one is the equipment with cutouts, bypass, or any device which allows excessive noise is not allowed.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah, next up is equipment with a replacement exhaust system or components that are not equivalent to the original. So that means pretty much anything aftermarket is a big red X.
Anything that makes noise is a big red X. Yeah,
diffusers or resonators or any internal muffler parts that have been removed. So this was effective April 1st of this year. An amendment to New York State, the vehicle and traffic law, provides that inspection stations and certified inspectors may be subject to potential penalties upon a third or subsequent willful violation and within a period of 18 months of, or all within a period of 18 months, of any rule or regulation of the commissioner requiring an inspection station to inspect the muffler or exhaust system of a motorcycle. So they're going to start fining the inspection stations or shops where these bikes are inspected and get a sticker.
Wow.
And you never know. Like, the fear is, God, the inspector's going to be sitting down the block. Like they do. Like, you know, you sit down. All the cops got to do is sit down the block from a hopping bar. And you know, at the end of the night, just pull them all over. You're going to get a bunch of drunks. So they pull out of a shop. And there you go. And they say, hey, where'd you come from? Oh, you came from that shop? Yes. Okay. Well, guess what? We're going to, we got a problem.
They get bagged. The shop gets bagged. Oh, yeah.
That's
right.
Tickets
all around. Violations all around.
And now we got a bag on the phone. Let's go back to the phones, back to the fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths. Yep. Caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Hi.
What's happening, guys?
Oh, Vic, how's it going?
Same old, same old. How about you?
Hey,
everything
Vic.
Good?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, Chris?
Quick.
You forgot when you're doing the dwell, you got to take a golf tee and shove it in the vacuum hose.
That's true. If you have vacuum advance, you do want to.
Yes.
Negate the vacuum advance. Exactly.
You are
correct.
Right. A golf tee, a pencil, a pencil,
yep.
A dull
yep.
Sharpened.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll tell you the truth. In the old tack dwell meter I have that I bought in the 70s, there's a little compartment in the back, and I have a couple of golf tees in there just for that purpose.
Right, because you don't have a golf tees for any other purpose.
No, because I don't golf, right.
Quick story on that. I used to work in a gas station that had 48 Ford vans that we serviced, and they were six cylinders. And when you timed them, the time marks on the bottom, so you leave the engine cover off, you're down the street with a hammer.
Oh, wow.
and tap it until the timing was right.
Okay.
Tap timing.
Yeah. I get depending. You had a 12-ounce timer or a 24-ounce timer.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Excellent.
And remember, they got the Gun City Parade today, 1 to 3.
Oh, is it at 1? Okay, I thought it was earlier. They usually used to end around 12 or 1, right?
Yeah, 3 o'clock, I think. I read it in Newsday on Friday.
Oh, okay. So. Unless, like, typical Newsday, they got the time wrong.
They could have had it in November, too. In Newsday,
right. I'd say that's not above them these days, yeah. But, okay, cool.
Yeah,
the Gardens. And, in fact, we have a post on our website about the Garden City Easter Parade. We actually have that up as a notification on the Motor Mouth Radio blog.
Yep, and Long Island Street Rods is back at Wicks Road, I believe.
Next week, right? Is it next week?
I think it is.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I was actually thinking of selling stuff, but then it got the better of me and realized I can't sell anything.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, like I said, I was at the UD yesterday talking with Dougie and Johnny. We were talking about our stuff and the collections and what we need to do. And we have the same conversation every time we're together. But, I think all we're doing is rubbing each other's back. But because neither one of us is getting rid of anything. But, you know?
Yeah, I was looking. You know, I was saying, I could sell that. I said, wait a minute. All the stuff I have is high dollar.
Okay.
And a bunch of cheap bastards are going, I got stuff like I want $700, $800, $900 for. And they're going to say, I'm going to give you $100, and I'm going to beat them in the head with the goddamn
thing. You know, that's what happens, Vic. That's exactly what happens. It's harder to sell something that's worth something than it is, the junk. And every time I went to a swap meet, it was always the junk that I sold. The junk went first. The little stuff, everybody scoops that up. And the big stuff, no.
Yeah, I was looking. I got a set of rims at $800. People around here don't know.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. So I got, I'm thinking of selling that Hillborn, that electronic Hillborn.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And that was for which engine?
Big Buck.
Okay. All right.
Because in the gasser, I got a 482 14-to-1 motor I'm going to throw in it.
Wow. Okay.
How far am I going?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Just to the next. Yeah. You can't even go to a gas station because you can't get gas for it there.
Exactly. I'm going to start up the top of the hill and that's it.
Right.
Yeah. Except for that, everything's everything. Slowly working on the cars and all, it's
Nice.
Takes more time than you want, especially when you got somebody helping you, and
right,
he's got to work too. So
yes, yes.
Yeah,
working's over.
Did you sell the Nomad?
Nope.
I know you had some. No.
Nope.
Somebody wanted it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, one of my friends now wants it, so there's. We'll see. That'll play in with the relocation talks when they start happening, because you know how many things I was thinking about another project car, and I'm thinking, wow, that's another registration, another insurance. Do I want another project car? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, I do, but
project's 49 years of life.
I know. You're right.
Yeah. That's why I'm actually starting to think about getting rid of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what happens when you go to throw it out, that Velcro unsticks.
Boing. I know, it's like Spider-Man. It comes snipping, snapping.
Yeah, and it brings a friend back with it.
Yep, of course. Yeah, and like you, and you've actually done this to me. You know, sometimes stuff shows up at my house, and like, all right, who left this? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, right. I left your present. Thanks.
Yeah, I've done that to you, Ray.
That would have been if you left me a present, but you know.
Yeah, I know, that's fine. It's usually in a white envelope with a lawyer's name on it. That's the problem.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Or a shot in the ass takes care of it, you know.
Right, that's the other present. Right, exactly. All right. Well, hopefully that won't happen anytime again soon, Vic, and we'll all...
No.
All right.
I'm gonna go out and play with the grandkids now for a while.
All right, go hunt for some eggs.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Everybody, have a good one.
All right, Vic.
There,
thanks. All right.
You too, Vic. So be safe. Bye bye.
Words to live by.
Those white envelopes, boy, they hurt.
So true. So true. Yeah.
But so, what's going on for the rest of the day? I know Vic's going to play with his grandkids. What are you off to doing?
As a chilly familia, we are going out to dinner. My wife threw it out to the girls and said, "Hey, you know, do you want to come to the house? We do something here, or do you want to go out?" Because there's a few places we've actually gone for Easter that are, you know, tutte bene, nice spots. Mm-hmm. And we are going to a nice Italian place in. Not too far from home that we've been to before that really does a fantastic job. So, hey, we'll take the, of course you don't have the leftovers like you would if you do a big to-do at home, but, hey,
right.
It's all right. So they voted and I just said, hey, I'll drive. Just tell me where I'm going. Am I driving to the living room? Am I driving to the dining room or am I driving to the restaurant? Do I have to put on a shirt or can I just use this bib? You know what?
Come on, you can go to the restaurant and come back with doggy bags. No big deal.
What's up with you? What kind of plans you got? You're going to be...
I'm driving up the road and I'm going to see my cousin Pat and Gladdy and see all the kids and see my cousins and literally be 2.5 minutes up the road from right here. So
beautiful.
I'm very pleased of the commute.
That's good. Yeah, that's always nice. That is nice.
And yeah, and hopefully within this week, I'll be able to pry my Chrysler out of the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny because what Vic was talking about, getting rid of stuff and acquiring stuff and seeing the value in things, I'm still hammering, knocking my head against the wall to find a front seat and a back seat for the 300.
I know.
It's really the only big thing I got left before I start going back to like general maintenance, doing the front end, doing upgrade the brakes. I'd like to get a set of front seats. I'm looking on eBay now. There's a set of front seats. They're like $500.
I know.
I got to get them shipped from Quebec.
You know what? The good thing is what's in there now doesn't stop you from using the car. So that's where I was with my car a while ago. I said it's usable.
It's ugly.
No, but who cares? So it's ugly. You know what?
Yeah.
Some people don't like the look of the car either. Who cares? Some people think you're ugly, but you don't. That doesn't stop you from going out. You know, none of us.
Stop me for getting on radio.
None of us. So yeah, and you know, I think you also fall into the category of where I was telling the guys about this yesterday. I told more than a few people this story this week. When I was at the end of the restoration of my car and the paint was done and I had paid a lot of money now to have all my stainless repolished and done right again.
Right.
And now the things were coming into place. And I looked at my taillight bezels, which were pop metal, and the set I had was the best set I ever had in my life that I had bought at E-Town. But now on the new car, on the new paint, they weren't going to cut it.
Oh.
Because even though they were very, very, they look great on a driver, on a driver car, now a car with paint and polished trim, no, they were the sore thumb sticking out.
Got it.
My choice was live with them, and they're in the back of the car, you don't look back damn too much, right? Or pony up the cash, $600 to buy a new set of just taillight bezels.
NOS, I hope, not reproductions.
No, this is from Ames. This is from Ames Performance. So it is a repro of the original. Yeah, but it, and they make them two ways. They make them in plastic, which is really nice. Right.
Yeah, we were at Englishtown. That's right. You pointed them out, the plastic ones. And I was like, eh.
And the plastic ones were either four or 300. Yeah, maybe it was four. And then the new metal ones were six. They do the same thing with the console because it's ribbed, and they make a plastic version or the metal version. So I said, all right, I have to buy these. The question was plastic or metal. And I said, you know what? I got to go with the metal. I can't put the plastic on. And I said, all right. I was telling Doug, I said, you just break out the hundreds. What's one, two, three, four, five, six? Good. Send them. And you know what? They look a beautiful. It really is.
Oh, you did put them on.
Oh,
you got
I did.
And you put them on.
And it did. Wow. It is that finishing touch back there that really just. So sometimes you just got to spend the money and be done with it and say, you know what? I can earn more money doing something.
And you know what? It's so nice to spend that kind of money and you get it delivered to you and they're beautiful and you just hang them on the car. With these seats that I'm looking at, they're the wrong color. They need to be recovered because every Chrysler seat from 1963 all the way up to 1974 needs to be recovered in some way, shape, or form. So they need to be recovered. So it's just you're looking at it going, holy smokes. So not only are you investing that kind of money and investing to have it shipped, but you're also investing another grand to have it recovered.
That's the thing.
And now you're looking at too large to do the front and the back, and you're like, oh, what the heck is the car worth?
That's the beast you chose to lie with when you bought that car. So, one would say, hey, so you got a choice. You do it or don't do it.
That's exactly it. And you know me, there's the third choice, sell the car.
Well, right, exactly.
That's all. Who's got the time and the patience for it? I have to go hunting around for those small junkyards, and that takes time.
Right.
Because I was always told the junkyards that I need to hunt around for don't go online.
Well, we may have Steve Magnante on the show in a little while. We'll ask him because he's the king. For now, we're going to go. So, Chris, what do you say when we get out of here? That Chassis John likes to say on Thursday nights.
Don't follow us home and have a happy Easter.
Right. Stay tuned for Thunder Road. Best of Springsteen and the boys with Kim. We'll be out. We'll be back next week. Chris, I'll see you and see the audience next Sunday. Until then, see ya. 90.3 WHPC. Enjoy the day.